نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله واحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته يا جماعه المسلمين Today is our fifth day of Ramadan. That's 1429 according to our Hijri calendar, and in brackets the 4th of September 2008 CE or AC. Now still we are in Surah Ali Imran, and the ayah is ayah number 1. نعم 119 ها انتم هؤلاء فليقرا الشيخ
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ها انتم اولئك تحبونهم ولا يحبونكم وتؤمنون بالكتاب كله وإذا لقوكم قالوا آمنا وإذا خلوا أو عليكم الأنامل من الغيظ قل موتوا ببيتكم إن الله عليكم بذات الصدور إن تمسكم حسنة تسؤوا وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها وإن تذكروا وتتقوا لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا إن الله بما يعملون مهين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تبارك وتعالى ها أنتم أولئك تحبونهم ولا يحبونكم وتؤمنون بالكتاب كله وإذا لقوكم قالوا آمنا وإذا خلوا عضوا عليكم الأنامل من الغيظ قل موتوا قل موتوا بغيظكم إن الله عليم بذات الصدور الآية as we've explained yesterday, is related to the previous ayah we've recited, taking the unbelievers for friends, leaving the believers behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in guiding the believers, that they should take for friends those that with whom they share the same destiny in belief, in system, and in everything. But those who don't believe leave no stone unturned in causing harms and obstacles against you. But unfortunately, Allah says, look at you, ha antum ula tuhibbunahum. There you are, loving them. Ha antum ula tuhibbunahum. There you are loving them, وَلَا يُحِبُّونَكُمْ, and they love you not. That's very clear. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ كُلِّهِ, you as true believers believe in all of the books revealed by Allah, but they don't believe in all of the books. They recognize some books rejecting the book given to you, the Quran. Rejecting your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rejecting all the values you hold. Okay, but you go after them, you befriend them, you confide in them, you take them as bosom friends. You are struggling to win a friendship from them. Even though the ayah has a reason behind its revelation, there is sababun nuzul. Sababun nuzul simply means a reason, a causative agent for which a certain ayah was revealed. Now on that, Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi in his tafsir, Zad al-Nasir, has this to say on this ayah 119. He says, قال ابن عباس كان عامة الأنصار يواصلون اليهود ويواصلونهم فلما أسلم الأنصار بغضهم اليهود فنزلت هذه الآية. But before the coming of Prophet Muhammad to Medina صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Jews in Medina were befriending the Medinite people. You know, they were called Al-Ansar, the helpers. But when the Al-Ansar embraced Islam, the Jews turned against them. The relationship turned sour. Friendship was no longer flourishing. So Allah sent this ayah to warn the Al-Ansar that not you. They used to be with you, but on the account of your recognition of the truth, they have gone against you. So be forewarned. So the ayah is specifically for this causative reason, but it is meant for all of the believers. The ulama are saying, al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. Whenever an ayah was revealed for a specific reason, historically, you can say, well, this ayah was revealed for so and so reason. But that does not mean its meaning should be necessarily tied to the particular reason. No, the meaning has a general applicability throughout the life of the Muslim Ummah. Because the Quran is a book, or is the book of yesterday, the book of today, the book of tomorrow, the book of eternity. Endlessly, perpetually, ceaselessly. So for that, its provisions, its legislative decisions have a permanent and encompassing impact on permanent basis. So the science of science reasons for revelations are there. They are called asbab al-nuzul, but the messages should have permanent and everlasting touch. So the ayah is drawing the attention of the believers that stop loving those who don't love you. Okay, that's why he says, والخطاب بهذه الآية للمؤمنين. The ayah addresses the believers generally, irrespective of geographical location, okay, or any particular timing. Yes, the reason for revelation is this, but the message is general. Next ayah. Then Allah says, okay, Allah says, وَإِذَا لَقُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا. When they meet you, لَقُوكُمْ, from لَقِيَ, يَلْقَى, isn't it? When they, وَتُمِنُوا بِالْسَابِ كُلِّ, we said that one. They, you believe in all of the books. We translated it. وَإِذَا لَقُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا. If they meet you, they tell you verbally, oh, we believe. And that is actually what the munafiqun, the hypocrites, used to be doing in Medina. When they saw the followers of Prophet Muhammad, in order to shield themselves from being recognized and spotted, they said, oh, we believe. We are also believers. Just as in Baqarah, Allah says, فَإِذَا لَكُمْ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. That was methodology. And up to today, this is the same method of the munafiqun. They are ever-changing, chameleon-like. The middle believers, they give them sugar-coated utterances. We are with you. But down the hurt, They are as dangerous as poisonous python, as venomous as dangerous snakes on the believers. So you are being forewarned. Because like we say, to be forewarned is to be forearmed.
وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا عَضُّوا عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَنَامِلَ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ.
By the time you pass by, they bite their fingers.
Oh, yes, you told. Have arrived in Medina. They overtook everything. How wish something bad is going to happen on them.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them here. وَإِذَا لَقُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا عَضُّوا عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَنَامِلَ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مُوتُوا بِغَيْظِكُمْ.
Tell them, you can die out of your anger. Just like you said today, you can go to hell. Die ye in your anger, in your frustration. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah is the all-knower concerning things counseled in the heart. So the message is very clear, emphatically clear, categorically clear, that if you take your trust, your love, your affection and place it in the hands of an unbeliever just because you work together, you cruise together to the point of preferring him above your Muslim brother, then really you have gone away from the right way. And that is going to invite against you Allah's crushing wrath and anger. Wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Next ayah.
إن تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها وإن تصبروا وتتقوا لا يصبكم كيدهم شيئا إن الله بما يعملون محيط.
This is ayah 120. إن تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها وإن تصبروا وتتقوا لا يضركم أو لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا إن الله بما يعملون محيط. إن تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم. Whenever a good comes upon you, it makes them unhappy. You see, still in this ayah, Allah tells us their behavior, their mentality towards the believers. Whenever something good comes upon the Muslim Ummah, they are enraged. Okay, it makes them unhappy. They don't want it. إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤُهُمْ. قال الإمام قتادة الحسنة هي هنا هي الألفة والجماعة. Whenever they see you united, whenever the unbelievers see the Muslim united, they are distraught. And if you can remember the previous ayah, the subsequent ayahs are interpreting the same what message of the previous ayah that warns the Muslim Ummah against befriending unbelievers. That Jewish man, Shaus ibn Qais. So some people from Khazraj and Aus discussing together, you know, becoming friends, and he was disturbed. So for that we devise a means of causing what? Destruction. So in the same thing, in the same manner, up to today, whenever the Muslim Ummah are united, that makes the unbelievers unhappy. That's the meaning of إِن تُصِبْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ تُصِبْ. Hasana, they say al-ulfa, unity, lack of division, lack of fragmentation. They say what? If you allow them to be united, we are not going to have our own aims and objectives realized, achieved, fulfilled. Try and cause commotion, friction, division, lack of understanding. That is the meaning of the ayah. وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَحُ بِهَا. سَيِّئَةٌ, they say division. And that is what happens to them.
Now, if the Muslim Ummah of the world today thinks of having what you can call United Muslim Nation as a parallel United Nation to the one you have today, how do you think it's going to be? What is the imagination? How feasible, how practicable, how possible? Let's opt out of United Nations, for example, in solidarity with what has been happening to the Muslim nations, Ummah being killed, and UN is there watching. Somalia Muslims were killed, in Iraq, it was invaded, innocent lives killed without a single resolution of total condemnation, just simple condemnation. Because the most powerful nation in the world is the one there. Instances like this. How many Muslims were killed in Yugoslavia after the civil war? In Srebrenica, particularly by 1994, how many? How many? Milosevic, what did he do? Radovan Karadzic, those Serb leaders, in one village, the whole village was destroyed. At a point, the militias of the Serbian people, they went to a village, they came across a man with his wife and their baby being breastfed. They seized the baby. They slaughtered the baby. La ilaha illallah. They roasted him, the flesh, like Yasuya, and they compelled the father and mother to eat from the flesh of their dead baby. They were wailing, crying. United Nations was there. Amnesty International, oh, they're all there. Human rights activists, because those being killed are the unwelcome species, the Muslims. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْأَزْحَلِ. Now, instances like this make the Muslim want to opt out, for example. Let's have our own body. How practicable? How possible? The trouble is even within the Muslim Ummah itself. You have the munafiqun, hypocrites, the nominal Muslims, who only pay lip services to the interests of the deen of Allah and the adherents. So this is more or less like what a dream. The first obstacle is going to come from the Muslims themselves, not from the Muslims. Didn't you hear? When the euphoria greeted the ushering in of Sharia implementation, what happened? One non-Muslim said, I advise you, all your non-Muslims, just take it easy. You don't need to fight Sharia. The Muslims are going to fight it on your behalf. And what happened? Then the Muslims, right? So Allah is warning us here. إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَكُمْ تَسُؤُهُمْ وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَحُوا بِهَا. But Allah said, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. That is why division is the powerful weapon the enemies of Islam use against the Muslims. As a Kaduna state indigene, Muslim indigene of Kaduna state, when you go to Kano, you are treated as a foreigner. I from Kano should be treated as a foreigner here in Kaduna because of lack of indigeneity. Why? That is exactly what the enemies want. Yes. They afflict you with these diseases called originality, indigeneity. Whereas they are being united today. They have their EEC, European Economic Community, 1954. In Brussels, Belgium, now you have EU, European Union. The gaps being closed, coming together. But you, the Ummah, are being kept asunder, being widened.
It's a kind of divide and rule tactic. It detectless previously and now subterraneously taking place, contemporaneously speaking. You don't feel the Muslim brother in Ghana, in Uganda, in Niger, in Cameroon are your brothers. Whatever happens to them, you say, well, it is their internal affair. But today you can travel from London to Paris through train, metro. At times, they are even removing what you call visas for their nationals. But this is not to be done based on religious belief, because to them that is dangerous. So the earlier we recognize this, the better for the Muslim Ummah. So Allah says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Some of the reciters, like Ibn Kathir al-Makki and Imam Nafi' al-Madani and Imam Abu Amr al-Basri, they recited this part by saying لا يضركم, by putting kafra under bar, unlike what you have in your book. Okay, لا يضركم, with kafra, with ra, without shadda. But Imam Asim al-Kufi and Ibn Amir al-Dimashqi, Hamza al-Kufi, al-Kisai al-Kufi, read it by saying لا يضركم, with putting Dhamma and Shadda on Ra. All these are styles of recitation. They are accepted. With any style you read the Quran, if you have the competence, it's okay. Like the brother here reading the Quran, maybe you will be hearing his recitation becoming different from what you have. He is reciting according to Qalun Riwaya. The Qalun school of recitation is recognized. Is one of the students of Al-Imam Nafi. If somebody were to read according to, for example, Al-Imam Ibn Amir, Ibn Zakawan, whenever you come across the expression Ibrahim in Baqarah, is Ibrahim. Ibrahim. So if you're for Ibrahim al-Qawa'id, Ibrahim? Yeah. It is Qira'ah Saba'iyah. Ibn al-Zirat al-Mustaqim. Zirat, it is a riwayah of Hamza through his own student Khalad and Khalaf. If somebody were to say Alam tara kayf fa'al rabbuk, so what? It's a riwayah accepted. Imam al-Susi, okay, according to his teacher Abu Amr al-Basri. So there are styles of recitation and they are recognized, they are accepted. And this is also part and the parcel of tafsir, exegesis. You know, the divergent methods of the recitation. So in tafsir, if you persevere, you exercise patience, though they have been doing these things to harm you, but if you persevere, in tafsir, وَتَتَّقُوا, and you keep your duties to Allah. Keeping one's duty to Allah means taqwa. Taqwa means keeping the do's and don'ts of Allah. That is a taqwa. It says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, if you have sabr. Sabr, the ulama define sabr as what? They say, حَمْلُ النَّفْسِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. You oppose yourself against the wishes of the inner feeling of yourself, that in your efforts, in your pursuance of Allah's pleasure, that is patience. Patience is of three kinds. There is patience in obeying Allah. Giving out zakat, you need to be patient. You need to persevere. You have to fight your whims and caprices to give zakat. So you need an extraordinary patience that people have. When it is called tithing,
you leave your comfortable blanket and go and pray in the early morning, you need to be patient. So there is category number one, impatience to preserve Allah's rule. Category two, to be patient against disobeying Allah. Don't commit zina. Don't consume alcoholic consumption. Don't backbite. Don't character assassinate. Don't be a rumor monger. Don't be arrogant. Don't be stump-headed, hydra-headed, pompous, ostentatious. Don't be extravagant, committing act of zukandamania. Don't be a squanderer. Try and manage the scarce resources you have. Because إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Don't. Trying to preserve these represent another form of patience. Then category three. Patience or endurance in the light of affliction, catastrophic occurrences, hunger, floods, أعوذ بالله, volcanic eruptions, things like wind, simply put, natural catastrophes. You preserve yourself. Your father died, your wife died, you fail an examination, for example, you are demoted, you are transferred from the municipality to the remotest part of the town, in your working place. Somebody refuses to give you a chance to progress intentionally, maliciously. You be patient. But that does not mean that you allow your rights being taken away. No, do what you can do. But at the same time, you should know nothing can happen without Allah's permission. So if you're patient, then Allah says, those who persevere will have your rewards being given to them incalculably, immeasurably given. Rashid al-Sabiri, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَهِ رَاجِعُونَ. He says, ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تعصوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما أتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. He also says, ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَحْدِ قَلْبَهُ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So you persevere in everything. But that doesn't mean you should be sluggish, you should be weak. You should allow your rights being trampled upon, being taken, and you say you are persevering. You should understand it positively. So وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. They are evil machination, كَيْدُهُمْ, will not harm you by any stretch of imagination. Whatever they do, if you maintain patience in obeying Allah and at taqwa, their evil designs will bring no harm upon you. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. Most certainly Allah encompasses whatever they do. That is the meaning of the ayah. Next ayah.
وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
Now this is ayah 121. I'm going to open another area in detail of what happened during the Battle of Uhud. Okay? May I ask the honorable audience, when exactly did the Battle of Uhud take place? When I say when, I'm talking about the year. When did it take place? Yeah. Ma'am?
Yeah.
3 years after Hijrah. That's true. It took place, it did take place 3 years after the Hijrah. May I ask, Father, what was the number of the Muslims then? Let the session be kind of an interactive session. And until Muslims are conversant with their history, with their chronicles, with what I call their civilizational sensitivities, they'll be left behind. You either have it or you end up knowing when Mongofat came to Nigeria. That is a sign of backwardness. So who can tell us, as the brother said, Jazakallah Khair, in which year did the battle, okay, we think that one. The number of Muslims as the army. What's the number of the Muslims there? 300 and 313. I beg your pardon. That's the time of Badr. It was in Badr. We're talking about Badr, yes? Yeah. Jazakallah khair. 700 to 1,000. In fact, the number was 1,000, but 300 of them just, they were instigated into living, into absconding, to use the military term. So they absconded, they left it. You can see it. May I ask, Father, how many, what was the number of the Muslims that attained Matador? 70? None? 70 or 73? No, the number is 70 plus, that's true. The addition, you know, people, the ulama, go on just talking about it. It's not categorical, but definitely the number was more than 70 who were killed among the Sahaba. Prominent amongst them, Hamza, Sayyidu Shuhada, the flag bearer of the Matayr, La ilaha illallah. We were killed there. May I ask again? Between the people of Makkah who died and the Medinan people who died, which of the number was greater? The Matayr from Medina were about 67. Only 3 from Makkah, according to one source. And you know what? The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not offer prayer on their dead body. Because if anybody gets killed in the battlefield, he shouldn't be washed. You leave the blood to be dropping on the field of Qiyamah. The color is that of the blood, but the smell is that of musk. That is Shahada. But today we are afraid. We fear dying for Islam. You are thinking of the girlfriend you want to marry, Allahu Akbar. You are thinking of the house you want to live in. You are thinking of this or that. But finally, going to die. Because kullu nafsin ayakatul maut. Kullu nafsin. نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا بَيْنَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ. Okay, now what I'm saying, this ayah 121 opens the explanations, the exposition of what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. وَإِذْ, remember, when you woke up, that is غَدَى يَغْدُ, in the morning. When you woke up one morning, تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, arranging the fighting believers in the field. That is مَقَاعِدَ الْقِتَالِ. You take that position. Okay, you, there. That is تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ الْقِتَالِ. Arranging them in the battlefield. This tells you there is a kind of a military strategy here. That the leader should have the courage, should have the scrupulousness, the ability to even know the number of those fighting on his side. How energetic are they? How agile? How staminized are they? And how battle ready are they? How prepared spiritually, okay, emotionally, mentally, otherwise an easy defeat will be inflicted on you.
So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, remember when we are arranging your combatants are going to fight in the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says, وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is Sami' all hearing, Alim all knowing. Now Allah's hearing according to the ulama of tafsir is of two kinds. There is what they call Sam'ul Ijaba, and that is what they call Sam'ul Idrak. Allah hears. His hearing here is the hearing of accepting your prayer. Example is Surah Ibrahim, where Allah says, quoting Prophet Abraham or Ibrahim alayhi salam, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibri Ismail wa Ishaq inna rabbi lasami'u ad-du'a. I thank Allah that has given me, though I am old, al-kibr, Ismail and Ishaq. Certainly my Lord is all hearing. So the scholars are saying this hearing signifies the hearing of what? Acceptance. The prayer is what? Accepted. That is category one of Allah's kind of hearing. Similarly, the believers do say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَامِدَهُ. That سَمِعَ Allah hears who praises him is the hearing of what? Acceptance. That is category one of Allah's hearing. سَمْعُ الْإِجَابَ. He hears لِيُجِيبَك. There is سَمْعُ الْإِدْرَاك. The hearing of comprehension. He knows. He hears because he knows what is happening. That one is also subdivided into three parts. There is سَمْعُ التَّهْدِيد بِالْهَا. There is سَمْعُ التَّأْيِيد بِالْهَمْزَة. And there is سَمْعُ الْإِحَاطَة. Explanation. سَمْعُ التَّهْدِيد is the hearing of a threat. Like you tell a student, okay, you are playing, you are talking like this, the principal is hearing you. What does that mean? It's a kind of hearing of a threat that mark you, you are going to be singled out for punishment. So Allah has this kind of hearing. Example, in Surah Al-Imran, where Allah says, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَةٌ فَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا وَقِتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ. Definitely Allah hears both saying Allah is a miser. Allah is poor. أعوذ بالله. أعوذ بالله. Allah hears this. This kind of hearing is not the first category of answering. No, 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 no. He hears them and is going to judge them accordingly. This is called سَمْعُ التَّهْدِيد بِالْهَا. Under second category, سَمْعُ الْإِدْرَاكِ. Three categories, three parts. The second one is سَمْعُ التَّعِيِّد. The hearing of support. He hears you to support you. Example, where Allah told Prophet Musa and Harun, okay, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Go to Pharaoh, I am with you, hearing you and seeing you. The ulama say hearing here is for support. Meaning, I hear you and I'm going to support you. The third one, and the second category, is سَمْعُ الْإِحَاطَ. That is the hearing characterized by its encompassing nature. Like Allah says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَسْتَفِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمَا. Allah hears the woman complaining to you, O ye Prophet of Allah. That hearing is of what? It's encompassing hearing. Meaning, his hearing knows no bounds. Now, let me ask you. In the light of these explanations, go back to this ayah 121. It says, وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. When you walk off one morning arranging the fighters in the battlefield, Allah knows that because Allah is all hearing, all knowing. I ask you, what kind of hearing is this? Now, for support. If you allow me, I will tell you, it is encompassing and supporting hearing. Because he encompasses them in his hearing and is going to support them. So that is ayah number one, introducing this
encounter that took place. That's why if you go to Medina, may Allah make it easy for all of us to go there and see, you go and see Mount Uhud. Fantastic, attractive, gigantic, imposing. You go and see where the Sahaba took their position. And you go and see what is called the mountain of the Akid, Jabal al-Rumah. The Prophet ﷺ stationed them there, saying, don't leave this place. No matter how hot the pursuit was, remain here. He gives them a commander, Abdullah ibn Jubayr, but alas, they unmutually left the positions, hence the catastrophe before them. We will see as we go further in the ayat, in the narrations, where Allah told them, okay, now you've been defeated, it's because of your disobedience. So the ulama are saying, now the Sahaba have been constantly obedient to Allah, but because of just one instance of disobeying the Prophet, Allah didn't look at those years. He brought humiliation to them. Then who are you? Who is me? Who am I? So they disobeying Allah flagrantly, day in, day out, and we expect tranquility, peace, if not because of Allah's rahmah and bounties. May Allah have mercy on all of us. So here is the ayah. Let's go to the subsequent ayah. إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ أَنْ تَفْشَلَ وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. You see, you have first if, when, and now you have another if. If suggests when something takes place, like جِئِتُ هُنَا إِذْ يَقْرَأُ الْمُعَلِّمُ. I arrive when the teacher is reading, for example. إِذْ suggests something like this. So Allah said, إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَ. You remember when two groups of the Al-Ansar intended to opt out. That is the group. And the ulama say, they are Banu Salama and Banu Haritha. They are amongst those who intended going to participate in the encounter in what? In where? In Uhud, making the number 1,000. But some munafiqun, through the instigations of the Jewish people, came and whispered into their ears, and they were on the verge of it withdrawing. But Allah supported them later. He upheld their iman. So that event is being narrated here. Allah said, إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَ. When two groups of the believers intended to become broken-hearted. But وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. Allah is their maintainer. Allah is their friend. Allah is their keeper. Okay? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. It is on Allah exclusively the true believers put their trust. At-tawakkul means to put trust in Allah. That is at-tawakkul. But I have to explain. There is difference between tawakkul and tawakkul. Tawakkul is condemned. Okay, but tawakkul is urged. You have to be mutawakkil and not, please underline it, not mutawakkil. Tawakkul is to claim being relying on Allah without resorting to the cause. For example, a student doesn't go to the class, doesn't attend his tutorial, his assignment is never done. Simply put, it doesn't care. He only takes pleasure in being a student. And he wants to pass his examinations, telling you, I rely on Allah. Can you check it? This is not tawakkul, it is called tawakkul. Get it? Part of your body in disobeying Allah. He told them, since he helped you, you should be people of shukr. Now may we ask, in which year did the battle of Badr take place?
1 year.
Yeah, 1 year?
2 years.
Yeah. Over 3 years. But Badr, 2 years. After what? Hijrah. Now, in which month did the battle of Badr take place? In Ramadan. Can we go out now? Ramadan? Hey, you can say inshallah very easy. Easier said than done. You see? Can we go out for jihad or propagation of Islam, for example, we want to go and help some people? Can we? Allah, you know Ramadan, you know this experience. Allah, I am hungry, please allow me locate in Sharwa. I will be a different person. But the Sahaba went out in the month of Ramadan to tell you they were not weak, they were not feeble. In fact, Ramadan is the month of strength, the month of mercy, the month of stamina, agility, capacity. Okay, not the month where somebody should be just remain weak like this. So Allah reminds the believer saying, he did help you during the battle of Badr, wa antum adilla, even though your number was so small, fattaqullah, therefore fear Allah so that you may keep your duty, you may be thankful to him. Next ayah. اتقوا للمؤمنين ألن يكفيكم أن يمدكم ربكم بثلاثة آلاف من الملائكة منزلين. اتقوا للمؤمنين ألن يكفيكم أن يمدكم ربكم بثلاثة آلاف من الملائكة منزلين. اسم المفعول. Still another is. فذ وإذ غدوت. Okay, and again, إِذْ هَمَّ طَائِفَتَانِ. Again, إِذْ, in this sequence, because it is narrative. It is narrative, narrating what transpired, what took place during the battle of Uhud. إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remember when you were telling the believers, أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ. Is it not enough for you that your Lord will increase, will support you by sending down another reinforcement, because yumiddakum means reinforcement. That Allah will give you reinforcement of 3,000 accompanists of the angels, munzalin, who will be sent down, being revealed, being sent down. That is, remember when you were telling the believers, trying to please them, come on, fight for the sake of Allah. It's very easy for Allah to send down 3,000 angels, battle ready, okay, being sent down. So Allah said, remember when you were telling them all this, you know what? During the battle of Badr, things strength took place. Angel Jibril came down, descended, and he fought with his sword. Satan saw him and he ran away. He took to his heel. قَالَ إِنِّي أَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْا إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ in Al-Anfal. Okay, when the Prophet rested, he said, oh Allah's Messenger, are you resting? We, the congregation of the angels, are not resting until the enemies of Allah are conquered. Today, if we can be true, truthful in our belief, truthful in our being Muslims, you keep Sharia in your house, Sharia concerning your wife, the way you eat, the way you clothe yourself, the way you behave, the way you project yourself for the societies, the way. You don't have to wait for any government to implement that for you. You should be the implementer. Allah says no to alcohol, I say no to it. No to zina, no to it. Don't steal, don't. Don't be a bad character, I mean, keep the do's and don'ts. Try to clean your houses from filthy things, pornographic materials in houses, alhamdulillah. Smoking, cigarettes, don't do that. You don't have to for anybody, because you are destined to finally leave this earth for a long journey, that you are not the one being waited you are the one waiting for the day. When you know this, and you remember it well, one day you're going to keep debt with debt. You are going to keep debt with debt. Then you become remorseful. You begin to aspire for the real life in hereafter. You begin to look down upon the glitterings of this life, because they are going to come to an end. That is very important. So Allah reminds the Prophet and the Ummah generally, you remember when you were telling the believers, is it not enough that Allah will give you reinforcement of 3,000 of angels, combat ready, battle ready, that will be sent down from the heaven? And it came to pass. Next ayah.
بَلَىٰ إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِهِمْ هَٰذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُم بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ
بَلَىٰ إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِهِمْ هَٰذَا يُمْدِدْكُم رَبُّكُم بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ بَلَىٰ certainly. Clearly, unavoidably, in tafdiru, if only you are patient, if only you persevere, if only you endure, وَتَتَّقُوا, and you keep your duty to Allah, with these two conditions, وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ, and their outpour becomes like this, they came to you or they come to you again, in the same manner they have come to you, يُمْجِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ, Allah will give reinforcement of angels of 5,000 in number, not only 3,000. You are asking 3, Allah says, I'm going to give you increment of 2, extra 2,000, making it 5,000, مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, of the battle-ready angels, مُصَوَّمِينَ, all of them marked, they are marked, you are going to finish Kafir A, Kafir B, marked. They came battle ready with their distinguishing features. And Allahu ala kulli shayin qadeer. All these came to pass. Is it time? So, نقف هنا. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's go straight to the questions. Assalamu alaikum. Madam, there seems to be confusion on your explanation about 2 days ago. On women, we are not supposed to marry. Some understood it to mean that one can marry more than 4 wives at a time. Please clear our doubt.
No, there is nothing like that. If you're talking about the kind of women one should not marry, is that what you're saying?
I think it is confused when you were saying about the different category of men cannot be married.
Mm-hmm.
Then some people are understanding it to say they are the ones that one can marry. The word is in. Because I think the...
No, there shouldn't be confusion. Let me make it clear and clearer. Ma'am. And in case still you are not clear, you can still ask.
Masha.
Our issue is making clear and clearer to the best of our ability. Allahu Alam. What we are saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certain different women cannot be married. Listen to them. They are 13. In ayah 23 of Surah An-Nisa, listen to them. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ, forbidden against you, forbidden for you to marry are your, number one, mothers. أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, your daughters. You can't marry your mother, number one. You can't marry your daughter. أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ, your sister. You can't marry your sister, same father, same mother, or same father, or same mother. Permanently, no way. أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ. That's number 4. Are you following me? وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ. Your amma is the younger sister of your father, or the elder sister of your father. You can't marry her, because she's your mother. That's number 4. وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ وَخَالَاتُكُمْ. How many? Your khala is the elder sister of your mother in this case, or the younger sister of your mother. You can't marry her. وَخَالَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِي. the daughters of your brother. Your brother, same father, same mother, have a daughter. She's your daughter. You can marry her, even if you are the only human beings in the world remaining. That's number six. Are you following me? وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ And the daughters of your sisters. Your sister has a daughter. She's what to you? Your daughter. You can marry her. How many? Seven. The ulama are saying these seven are from blood relations. You can marry them. Let's go further. وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ Any woman that breastfed you, though not your biological mother, but by the virtue of her breastfeeding you, makes her your mother, technically. You can marry her. Making the number how many? Good. Next, وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَأَخْوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَ Your sisters, your co-sister, this is a woman, this is a girl, with whom you were together breastfed by a woman. And your foster sister, that's good word there. This is a sister with whom you were brought up together. You don't share the same biological mother, but you share the same breastfeeding mother. She's your foster sister. You can marry her. Why? Because you suckle the same milk with her. How many? How many? Seven from blood relation. Two so far from this kind of relation. At this juncture, let me say, in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Ilm, there was a man living in Mecca with his wife for quite a long time. When an old woman came, she said to him, the wife you've been together is your sister by fostership, because I breastfed you together. He said, what? He said, yes. He went to the house and told the wife. He said, okay, stop touching me. Go to Medina, find the resolution from the Prophet. The man had to leave Mecca using his she camel. He went to Medina and the Prophet said to him, you know what he said? He said, كَيْفَ وَقَدْ قِيلْ كَيْفَ وَقَدْ قِيلْ What is it to be done since the old woman said it? Go and become separated from her. The point is, you cannot marry your foster sister with whom you are breastfed. How many? Nine. Number 10. وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ The mother of your wife. Any woman that has given birth to your spouse or to your wife, you can't marry her. That woman remains your mother permanently, even if you divorce the daughter. You can't marry her. How many? وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِ فِي حُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِ دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ فَإِنْ لَمْ دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ That is number 11. رَبَائِبُكُمْ Who is رَبَائِب? Is the plural form of رَبِيبَة. رَبِيبَة means any girl that happens to be the daughter of your wife. Not your daughter, you. She is the daughter to your wife. You can't marry that girl. As long as you have sexual intercourse with the mother. But if that does not take place, the marriage has just been contracted today, before the mother been taken to your house, and then you settle your eyes on the daughter. Okay? So you tell her, Madam, take heart. It is your daughter I want to marry. That is allowed. But before the mother, the marriage is consummated. If conjugal relations take place, you can marry the daughter. I don't know if it is clear to you. That is number what? Number? Okay. وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي أُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُونُوا دَخَلْتُمْ مِنَ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ But you see, on the other hand, if you marry the daughter, as long as the marriage is contracted between you and the daughter, the mother becomes haram. Automatically, irrespective of whether a relation has taken place or not with the daughter. You see the difference? Now, Allah says, that is number 12. وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ The wives of your sons, the wife of your biological son is your daughter. You can marry her. even if the son divorces her finally. How can you marry her? How many? 12. Okay. Number 13. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَبْتَلَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. You combine two sisters simultaneously, Aisha and Halima, from the same house, same father, same mother, or same father or same mother, you are marrying them simultaneously, is haram. How many? That's what I mean. That clear? But if Halima is divorced by you, you can marry another sister. That's halal. Now, the 14th of them is al-muhsanat. وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Al-muhsana, any woman under a husband. How can you marry her? Do Muslims practice polyandry? No. So the wife of your friend is haram for you to marry her. These are the 14 women we're talking about. But the sunnah adds two extra women. So the number becomes how many? 16. These two extra women are not mentioned here in chapter 4, verses 23, 24, I have recited for you. These two women are, number one, you can't marry your wife and marry the elder sister of her father at the same time. Is that clear? You marry a woman and you are marrying the elder sister of her father at the same time. This one is not mentioned in the numbers you have heard. I want you to think carefully. It's not mentioned. It's not here. So also you cannot marry the elder sister or younger sister of her mother simultaneously. These two extra women are added. So the total number becomes how much? 16. That's what I have been talking about. It is forbidden for a Muslim to marry 6 different categories of women. Where are they? Oh, 16. Sorry, 16. You go to Surah 4, chapter 4 of Quran, verse 23 and 24 for greater details. Is that not clear? Okay, go on.
I think it is clear now, because the mischief makers are trying to make it wrong that Mother said you can marry more than 4.
I haven't said it. I hope now you hear it now. Let me, again, Malamikudu, let me re-emphasize. I think you hear me well, but I didn't say you should marry more than 4. Restrict yourself to marrying only 4. If you can't do justice, maintain only 1. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
These 3 questions are alike. That's assalamu alaikum. Madam, if you say, you say Allah wants us Muslims not to have non-believers as our close associates, then how do we call them Islam? I mean, which manner shall we use, since they know we are forbidden to take them as friends?
I am not the one saying that. Quran says it.
No.
So it's better you should have said, Malay, you have said Quran say, not you say. Mark you. You should know how to put your question well. I didn't say it. Who am I? A common mortal. I am nobody. I am telling you what your creator, my creator, said, Quranically speaking. But that does not mean you should not call. The same Allah warning you against taking unbelievers as friends is the same Allah saying invite them to Islam. How do you harmonize? They are very harmonizable, very easy. What Allah is saying, taking them for friends, exclusively for the sake of friendship. You don't even care to invite them. But if your intention to invite them, do that. That is what is expected of you. So the nature of friendship here should be discussed. The nature of befriending them is the big question to be treated. Can't you see? The Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, paid a visit to a Jewish boy one day in Medina, a non-Muslim, who was sick. But he visited him. But what was the nature of the visit? To invite him to Islam. If your own friendship is punctuated, is characterized by this one, go and do that. But just for the, oh, he's my friend, I know him for a long time, I even trust him more than anybody, that's what we're saying, not you. But you aren't calling to. But if you don't do that, you are even committing sin. So the Prophet ﷺ went to him. He told him, be a Muslim. He was dying. And the boy looked at his father, you know, sensibly like this. And the father said to him, obey the words of the father of Qasim. Ati' Abu al-Qasim. And the boy uttered kalimat al-shahada. He said, la ilaha illallah, and he breathed his last. And the Prophet said, I thank Allah that saved him from going to the hellfire. Then he said, go ye and pray on the corpse of your brother. So you can see, he was a non-Muslim, but he visited him. So what we are saying, it depends on the nature of defending them. I hope it is clear. Now.
Assalamu alaikum. Ya Sheikh, I need more explanation about this ayah. Alam tara anna Allah ya'lam ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Ma yakunu min najwa thalatha illa huwa rabi'uhum. Ila akhir al-ayah. That some bid'atic people are using this to say that Allah is everywhere bi nafsihi. Please do help.
But you see, one beauty with Islam is that you can say what you feel like saying, but its acceptability, its reliability, its authenticity hinges completely on how verifiable in the light of Quran and Sunnah. Another beauty is that no matter how vague you are in Quran, one fact remains that you are not the one to whom the Quran was given. It was given to just one person. And Allah entrusted the excellence of Quran to him exclusively. Read Quran chapter 16 verse 44. Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We have revealed the Quran to you, that you refers to only one person, so that you explain to them, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he explain it? Did he? Khalas. So if anybody caught an ayah to give his personal interpretation, we say, no, 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 we are not after your interpretation. What did the Prophet say? Because he is the one that Allah, and not you. Nobody knows you. You are being accepted, you have to be subservient to his method. If you want true Islam, that is our method. So every Tom, Dick and Harry can talk, but the acceptance has to be determined in the light of what Quran says. The ayah you are quoting, ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابع ولا خمسة إلا هو ثالث. To the end of it, Allah says, no meeting taking place between two people, but Allah is the third party there. Or three people, but Allah is the fourth. Fact that he is sixth. He says, even a greater number or lower number, he is there. So if you want to be on the safe side, go to the meanings given by the Prophet. Somebody goes to the inconclusive conclusion of telling you, this tells me, okay, Allah is everywhere. Because he says, إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كَانُوا ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. But finally, what does Allah say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is all-knowing, meaning he is with them by the virtue of his knowledge. That's the meaning. Not physically. The aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah, Allah is in Al-Arsh, in his heaven. How? We don't know. That should not boggle your mind. That the bid'atic people, with crooked and crooked understanding, want to concoct and fabricate an outlandish ways of comprehension in order to indoctrinate the minds of the unsuspecting Muslims. The only way out is for you to go and study the deen well, to know it well, to propagate it well. So Quran says in Quran 4 ayah 115, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِي غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَانْزِحَنَّ مُطَاعَةً نَصِيرًا. Your understanding should be tailored in the way it was conducted by the Sahaba. Simply put, the ayah does not support the idea of saying Allah is all everywhere. Finally, the Prophet explained the ayah. in Sahih Muslim, in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami. She had a slave girl. He slapped her. The Prophet called her. He said, "Why did you slap her? Set her free. But let me ask her to test her iman." He said, "Where is Allah?" "Ayn Allah?" She said, "In heaven." "La ilaha illallah." "In his presence." "His" meaning? Allah, Allah. "Where is Allah?" "In heaven." "Why didn't the Prophet say, no, stop it. Allah is everywhere. You are making a mistake." He didn't say that. "Who am I?" "You are Allah's messenger." He said, "She's a believer. Set her free." What do you make out of this? So if anybody tells Allah is everywhere, he is condemning his prophet. He claims the law. He is a pathological jahil. Forget about him. So that is the answer. Wallahi, 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 the ulama are saying, الخير كل الخير في اتباع من سلف وشر كل شر في اتباع من خلف. Goodness upon goodness lies in maintaining the ways of the pious predecessors. Evil things lie in adopting the ways of the fabricators of the later days. And you will stand before Allah one day. So care should be taken. Any questions?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Madam, yesterday you answered a question concerning those that a prophet was not sent to Prophet Islam, and you said that Prophet Ibrahim al-Islam was sent to such people. My question here is about the Ashab al-Fatra. Madam, please, is the parent of Prophet Muhammad among these people?
Are the parents of the Prophet among Ahl al-Fatra?
No.
That is Fatra, by the way. Ahl al-Fatra, the people that were contemporaries or they lived during the period when there was no any revelation. Simply put, the pre-Islamic period people who lived during the Jahiliyyah period, before the revelation, before the advent of the Prophet, they are called Ahl al-Fatra. Now the question is, are the parents of our beloved Prophet among the people of Fatra? The answer is yes. They lived during the time of Fatra. That is the question you've asked. No addition, no subtraction. Caught me well. The answer is yes. They lived before the advent of his prophethood. That is the question. That is the answer I have given you. No coloring, no addition, no surprise.
I have a friend who belongs to Al-Quraniyun sect. We visit each other. He prays with us if he visits us. Can I pray with them if I visit them?
Well, you see, if somebody belongs to the deviant group called Quraniyun, the issue of whether you can pray with them, if I get the question correctly or not, depends on the method you've devised. You see, a Muslim always is supposed to call others, not throw people away. No matter how deviant somebody is, why don't you, the device of wisdom, reach out to him, extend the olive branch. Just like the question of a brother earlier, does that mean that we are going to be antagonists to the Muslim? No. Devise a way of inviting people through nice words, good approach, diplomacy, gift, okay, good mannerism. So even those people, you can pray with them if they are disposed to understand it. But those that prove arrogant, they turn against the clear signs and teachings, in that case, you leave them for those who are ready to accept the truth, while you continue praying for them for Allah's guidance. That is my answer to this. Allah Ta'ala.
In their mosque, they don't have the raka'at that are said openly and some that are said secretly. They make it equal. They say it. You can hear their recitation anytime, whether during Maghrib, Isha, or Zuhr, Asr.
Then they are against the teaching of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If they refuse to recognize, don't go to their mosque, if that is the case. Because it is as if you are helping and aiding their bid'ah and deviation. You have to be very careful. Your Islam is not something for play. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. Madam, please, does the ruling
on ringing tone that was explained yesterday of using the Quran, does it apply to alarm also that wakes you up?
What?
Alarm.
Alarm?
Yes.
Do you have alarm having Quran?
No, that he says it as his alarm alert. To wake him up.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
You put Quranic recitation
yes.
as your alarm
yes.
to wake you up.
No.
For example, I want to wake up for Qiyam al-Layl, for example, by 3 o'clock. Okay, let me go to alarm, put it on. That alarm means Quran being recited to wake me up. So that is much easier than going to, than making it RT. It's very easy. Okay, if the Quran is to wake you up, but preferably don't make it. Stay. Because it's going to serve the same purpose of becoming your servant. He's now serving you. Please wake up. So it's only there to just wake you up. Do you take that one easily? Quran is Quran. Whatever the text to honor the Book of Allah, please do that. So to me, I don't advise you doing that. There are alternatives. Use the alternatives. Allahu
A'lam. This one is the last one. Definitely is the last one for now. Before we go into that, I want to announce that the tapes are available now, both the audio tape and the CD plate are available for those, even for today's tafsir. And Malan, this is the last one. This brother said he's writing a medical examination now. And I think I'm aware some students are writing their exams too in the Kaduna Polytechnic, and some may begin very soon. They want you to include them in your prayer.
Mm. We ask Allah out of His infinite mercy to encourage you, to help you, to give you the power, the ability, the capacity to write well, to have good score. Not for the sake of employment, but for the sake of serving Allah. Because even in your studies, you can combat the purpose for serving Islam as well. So we ask Allah to make you have flight.